Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Well, good evening. Stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of His Word. Aletah is coming up. It is not that far away. Hallelujah. Aletah of the book is literally in the press. Already got my first copy to proof. So it will be here. They're expecting the shipment to arrive the last week of May. Be here just in time for the conference. Ordered 12,000 copies, one for every seat in CenturyLink. Hallelujah. Man, y'all need to be inviting everybody you know, grandma. Everybody, your cousins, your co-workers, your enemies, get everybody there. God gave us the CenturyLink for a reason. We want to fill it up for His glory. Amen. We want it to be the biggest Christian assembly that's ever gathered in the Arklatex. Amen. Because you know CenturyLink, Bossier City, is just the first stop. We had to do it close to home to make sure we could get it right. Because you know we're taking this to Houston and Dallas and Indianapolis and you know, it's gone all over the nation. This is just the beginning of what's getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. So praise be unto God. I'm stirred up, man. Hallelujah. I'm stirred up right now. I could swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk, shoot the devil in the eye with a water gun. All while singing, victory is mine. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. And when you get there, just say amen. Romans chapter 14. We've been in a series on the Holy Spirit, and last week we began volume 3, dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Lord willing, this will continue into 4 volumes. This has been the first series in some time that we've taken a Wednesday study and put it on our Sunday telecast. So if you're watching our weekly broadcast, I think if not this past Sunday, this coming Sunday, some of the Holy Spirit teaching will be televised. Romans 14, you get there, say amen. Amen. Let's look at it in verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's read that out loud together. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice. For those watching live, for those here in this assembly, Father, I pray that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, you ready to get back into it? Hallelujah. Wednesday, you know, somebody used to call it hump day. Middle of the weekday, good day to get in the Word. I don't know how folk make it from Sunday to Sunday. Man, I got to have this Wednesday moment in the Word, this Wednesday encounter. Hallelujah. We read before the prayer, and we're now in part 2 of the 3rd volume of our series dealing with the Holy Spirit. And we dealt in volume 1 with the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. Volume 2, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And now in volume 3, we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a connection that I want us to make in the Word here in this service, in this study. And I had a reason for reading Romans 14, 17 first, because here the Bible says that the kingdom of God, it defines and describes what it is, but it's It's not meat and drink. It's not, you'd have to read the entire chapter to see why he says that in context. But what he does say is that the kingdom of God is righteousness. It's God's rightness, his right standing. And it is peace and it is joy, all in the Holy Ghost. There is no righteousness without the Holy Spirit. There is no peace from God without the Holy Spirit. And there is no joy without the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing in this verse that the Holy Spirit produces, it produces righteousness, peace, and joy. The Holy Spirit produces righteousness and peace and joy. Now what's interesting there is that peace and joy are the two of the nine fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn over there and look at that, Galatians chapter 5. Turn forward in your Bibles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. And let's turn to the fifth chapter where we see the fruit of the Spirit laid out in verse number 22, Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is where we get the word temper. It means self-control. When you lose your temper, you lose your control. I had a habit of that as a child. I grew out of it. Either age got me out of it or my mama switched. I don't remember which one, but one of them. One of them won over. Self-control, and then against us there's no law. So if you read verse 22 and 23, you find that there are nine fruit of the Spirit. And as we discussed last week, nine is a biblical number of judgment, or another word for judgment, because we don't particularly like that word, recognition, which is what the bema or the bema seat of Christ is. It's the recognition seat of Christ. Judgment, biblically speaking, can be good or bad. It's to be recognized. It's recognition. It's judgment. We see the word in a negative term, ooh, judgment, you know, but actually it just means recognition. And nine is a biblical number of judgment, and there are nine fruit of the Spirit. I believe that that's saying that we should be recognized. If we were to be judged as believers, we should be recognized as believers by our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, another word for fruit would be produce. Going in the grocery store, remember seeing that big sign on the back wall? Produce, that's where the fruit and vegetables were. Another word for fruit is produce. So when you think of fruit, think produce. So the fruit of the Spirit is the produce of the Spirit. These are attributes that are produced by the Spirit of God, his fruit. Now, I want to deal with it in a minute. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to lay some things out and then go back to something we picked up on last week, dealing with understanding God's first law and understanding that this principle law that God established in Genesis 1:11, it's a spiritual, natural law principle. It controls everything. It's a spirit law, and it teaches that every seed will produce fruit of its own kind. It is a law that God set in creation and cannot be violated. So there won't be a dog and a cat and make a dat. And a chicken and a duck can't get together and make chuck. So God got a... Boy, that's kind of crazy. God has set a law in the earth realm that every seed produces more of its own kind. So you're not going to plant lemons and get oranges. And so that law is both spiritual and natural, and it controls all things. And so every tree will only yield fruit of its own kind. And Jesus emphasized that, and we looked at that last week. But what's so important is that you can't say that you walk in the Spirit and you don't yield the fruit of the Spirit. I'll say that one more time. You can't say that you walk in the Spirit and you don't yield the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5 here is dealing with walking in the Spirit. If you go back to verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then he goes on and he lists what the flesh will produce. And we've been familiar with that at least some point in our life, what the flesh can produce. Okay, and even if you didn't carry out the thought, you at least, I started to say thunk it. You thought about it, in other words. My English is bad tonight. All right? thunk it. All right, help me, Holy Spirit, because I need some temperance up in here. My mama got to come down heaven and bring her switch. Say, quit all that, boy. Get to the word. So here we see the works of the flesh laid out. And then in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. And they're contrary, so that you're not doing the one and the other at the same time. So if you have a walk in the Spirit of God, we're going to know you walk in the Spirit because of what your life is producing. The production of the Spirit cannot be imitated. And you can't conjure up this fruit in and of yourself. The life that God's called us to walk is a manifestation of His Spirit. And Jesus has called us to be known by such fruit. Jesus said, that's how you're going to be known. In Luke 6:44, Jesus said, every tree is known by his fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Let me say it that way. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Say that out loud. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Jesus said, that is how you'll be known. When they came to be baptized of John the Baptist, John said, wait a minute. Don't just jump in this baptismal line. Bring me some fruit showing that you have repented. Show me the produce that you've changed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. There is no escaping this principle. So a walk in the Spirit is going to yield the fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about these nine fruit real quick. Now, notice here in verse 22, there's nine. And what I want to do for the sake of studying, you don't have to follow me. You know, listen, I'm a teacher, and you just treat it like a buffet. If you can eat it, eat it. If you can't, leave it there. All right? Because I don't like hominy. If it's on the buffet, I leave it there. And I like a lot of things, but I just don't like hominy, and I don't like liver. People ask me what I like. I say, ask me what I don't like, because I got so many likes. I just rather tell you what I don't like. I don't like hominy, and I don't like liver, and I don't like coconut. Everything else feed me. So when I lay these things out, treat it like a buffet. Now, I see something when I read these nine fruit, and you don't have to see it. I'm just telling you I see it, and it doesn't mean it's there. It's just the way I see it. That there are nine fruit that can be separated in groups of three. Three groups of three. And three represents a number of wholeness, something being complete, something being manifested, something being made. Man was made in a triune nature, spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when you talk about God existing in a triune nature, for those that don't agree with that, study the very first word of the Bible where God is mentioned in the beginning, Elohim. Elohim created the heaven and the earth. That's the Hebrew word there for God. Elohim, that is a plural word, like cherub would be one, but cherubim would be more than one. When you add that M on the end of a Hebrew word, it represents more than, it's plural. When God came down and made man, he said, let us make man in our image. He spoke of his triune nature. You see it in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. You've got God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Word of the Son right there in the first three verses of the Bible. 1 John 5:7 says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So three is a spiritual number as well that represents something being, the first number that represents something being complete, manifested. And so if you took the nine fruit and divided them into three groups, something interesting happens because you'd first end up with love, joy, and peace. Now, Lord willing, next week, based on how far we get in this service, I want to spend time dissecting each of these fruit. But for the sake of this study, I want to separate them in three groups of three. So love, joy, peace. Let's talk first about the first fruit. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Just say that out loud. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, if you wonder why I ask you to say things, it's because that's how you can better remember it. Psalms 45:1 says our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You write things down when you say it. So I'm not just saying that to keep you awake, even though that helps too. I'm asking you to say it because I want it written down. So when you look at the nine fruit, there's a first fruit, and that first fruit is love. And the biblical principle of the first fruit is that if it is holy, the lump will be holy. But if it's not, the lump won't be. Romans 11:16, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. So the most important of the nine fruit of the Spirit then would be what? Love, which is the greatest commandment. That number one, we love God. Number two, we love our neighbor. So you don't really have to overwhelm yourself with the nine fruit. They're going to manifest because they're the fruit of the Spirit. But one you certainly have been commanded to concern yourself with, and that is love, because it is the first fruit. It makes everything else holy, and nothing will be in place in your life if love is not present. Okay, it is the first fruit. There are many people today that don't have joy, which is the second fruit of the Spirit. And the reason they don't have joy is because they've not come to know love, or the true agape love of God. When love is received, it produces joy. When love is communicated, offered, and received, it produces joy. If you tried to give somebody love and they rejected it, you would not have joy. You know, if you got to know somebody and you felt like, you know, man, I really think I love this person, I love this woman, and you're thinking about, you know, making a covenant, and you're a man and you've met a woman. I've said that these days. And you've met a woman. You say, man, I'm thinking about entering a covenant with this woman. I love her. And so then you step out and you decide one day to tell her that you love her. And you say, hey, there's something on my heart I want to tell you. And I've just been trying to build nerve. She's like, oh, what is it? You're like, I think I love you. Well, now, once you threw it out there, you hope that it's received. And if she says, oh, I've been waiting on you to say that because I love you too, then see, now you got joy. But if she says, you love me? And you're like, yeah, I think I love you. So you're saying you love me. Yeah, I'm saying I love you. Well, like a friend? See, you know right now, it's over, man. You mouth it is. Then you say, yes, of course, like a friend. And you go on down the road because that right there is not working for you. And you don't sleep that night, and you know, and you're playing some Key Sweat and a little depressed because it didn't go your way. But when love is offered and it is received, it produces joy. Because now what I have offered, I have joy. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents or turns to God. Well, what is the result of that joy in heaven? That sinner turning to God. Why would that sinner turn to God? For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's love motivated him to send Jesus. Hallelujah. The love motivated him to send Jesus. And then when Jesus is received, the Bible says there is joy in heaven. What you say? So when love is offered and when it is received, then there is joy. And now following that comes the third fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. Now, love, joy, and peace. These three, I believe, are three fruit that you ought to categorize upwardly. Upward, okay? In other words, the love and the joy and the peace in my life, I view upward to God. I love God first. He's the reason for my joy, and he gives me peace. That is an upward relationship. Hallelujah. A true agape love, it has nothing to do with the lover. It has everything to do with the loved. And church, I'm here to tell you, there are few people that really understand the love of God, because we live in a world that only understands that Greek word for love, one of the definitions of love, eros, where we get our English word erotic. They only understand the eros love. Nothing wrong with eros love if you're married. It's good to have a little eros when you're married. Hallelujah. Now, you don't need no eros when you're not married, okay? But because having a little eros might lead you to want to get married, and that's a good thing too. But your relationship, a marriage, can't be built on eros. Because one day the dishes are going to be dirty, and a bill is going to go unpaid, and one of your children are going to act crazy, and eros ain't going to cut it at that time. So one day you're not going to look the same, and you got to dim the lights. So eros is not going to always work for you. But the love that God has called us to walk in is agape love, and that is a selfless love that has everything to do with the loved and not the lover. It's a love that says, I love you, and it's sacrificial, and it's all about you, and it's nothing about me. Eros is all about the lover. It has some to do with the love, but a lot to do with the lover. That's what most people think they have when they say, I'm in love. Right. When you meet somebody, say, man, I'm in love. And really, you're not necessarily in love. You're in infatuation, maybe a little lust, but you love something that person is doing for you. You say, what do you love about? But why do you love me so much? Oh, it's just the way you make me feel when I'm around you. The way you make me feel, I know I love you. Well, that's not necessarily the kind of love that will last forever. That's not necessarily the kind of love that will endure, because what if I don't always make you feel good? What if I'm not always able to provide the stimulation, this sensation, this chill? Come on, somebody. So agape love has everything to do with the love and not the lover, and that's the kind of love God has for us, and there's no one that will ever trump the agape love of God in your life. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Tell your neighbor that right now. They need to know it. Because the love that Jesus has for you doesn't have anything to do with what you can do for him. It has everything to do with what he can do for you. That's the love that Jesus has for me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the best news you've heard all day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that's first fruit. And joy, the joy that we have with the Holy Spirit, It trumps anything naturally as well, because we live in a world based on happiness. And I'm not saying you're not supposed to be happy, but happiness is based on happenings. And joy comes from the Lord. There is a joy that can come and be produced by the Spirit of God in your life that don't have nothing to do with what's happening in your life. It goes beyond what is happening. It is a production of the Spirit of God, and it provides strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. So that's a production of the Spirit. But yet there's so many Christians that walk around oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less, sad, mad, grieving all the time. You just look like, what's wrong? Always something wrong. Just your face tells me your life is horrible, but your life's really not that bad. You need to go on a mission trip and come back and be thankful. You, the Lord has brought you a mighty long way, but you're still not happy. Joy is a production of the Spirit. And it brings... This production, this joy, brings reason for life, and it's an answer to discontentment, because if your happiness is based on what's happening, you will never be happy, because the enemy has a way of always making us focus on what we don't have. He's done it from the very beginning when he quizzed Eve about the fruit. He's always in the trees. He's always bringing up what you don't have to make you miserable. So we need the fruit of the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, joy, peace. That's wholeness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 teaches that is wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. Hebrew word shalom, peace, shalom. It means wholeness. It don't mean nothing like feeling good about something bad. That's not peace. You can't say, well, yes, my roof caved in, but I've got peace about it. Well, I mean, you may have peace about it, but don't answer stuff negative and then be super spiritual and try to say, but I got peace about it. And then when I turn my head, you pulling your hair out. Peace means there is a wholeness. And if you study the New Testament, and we will as we get to that fruit, there are countless examples of peace being synonymous with wholeness, spiritually, mentally, physically. The word peace itself means wholeness. And there can't be a part of our life that's fractured and us be whole. So peace has to do with everything in your life, spiritually, mentally, physically. These three are upward. Okay? Now the next three: long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. This is outward. This is outward. This is fruit that manifests outwardly. In other words, and I'm not saying you don't love people and bring joy and peace to your surroundings, but if you look at the emphasis here on this second set or group of fruit, long-suffering is what I don't need long-suffering with God. You hear what I'm saying? Long suffering. Somebody said, give me a definition of long suffering. Okay. Long suffering. I'll give it to you one other way for those of you super deep. Suffering long means I'm able to bear something for a long time. I'm able to, for lack of better words, able to put up with you. Somebody, I don't know how you put up with her. I'm not putting up with her. You're not. I'm just being long suffering. God was long-suffering toward me, and I'm being long-suffering toward her. I'm being long-suffering toward him. So that's something I need outwardly, and not be so short-fused with folk. My aunt invited me to church for 9 months before I came. She didn't cuss me out after 3 invites and say, you old heathen, I knew you were never going to go. No, she was long-suffering, and she kept sowing that seed and kept the invitation alive. Long-suffering. Quit giving up on people so long. And some of you parents are writing your kids off way too soon. You didn't get saved until you were 42. And you're talking about how your boy is never going to get it right and he ain't but 18. Do you remember what you were doing at 18? Do we need to bring up what you were doing at 18? God saved you at 40. Why can't he save your son at 40? Now, I'm not saying it's going to take your son to turn 40. We pray that don't happen. But I'm just saying, quit writing folk off so soon. Long-suffering. I need to demonstrate that outwardly. And then secondly, here in this second group, not only long-suffering, but notice what else I'm supposed to demonstrate to others, and that is gentleness. But being so abrasive and mean-spirited and pointed and hard, folk, you know, like I've been telling y'all for years about that shirt you need to be wearing. Approach with caution. You know, the Bible teaches we're supposed to be gentle with people, not so abrasive and hard and mean-spirited and bitter. And you got to always give somebody a snappy, mean answer and a tone and an attitude and an ugly look on your face. Only person you're hurting doing all that's yourself. And then you want to invite them to church afterwards. And now they don't want to go to your church because look at the fruit they see in you. If you showed me fruit that you had bought at the ma and pop fruit stand down the street, and the fruit was infested and bruised and rotten, and you say, look at my fruit. Hey, I'm going back to that fruit stand Saturday. Can I pick you up somewhere? Do you want to go with me? No, I don't want any of your bruised, eat up, corrupted fruit. But yet many people live out every day lacking the fruit of the Spirit, and is it no wonder that individuals won't follow us to church or accept our invitation to Christ? The fruit that we're showing is nothing that is appealing. Amen. Remember, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, which means our fruit should win souls to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, well, you don't know how mean they are to me. Listen, you attack a spirit with the opposite spirit, not the same spirit. The answer to hate is not hate or more hate. It's love. The answer to that sandpaper boss of yours is for you to be silk. You said, I'm going to get tore up. No, you won't, because greater is he that is in you. Hallelujah. All right, now the second one, or the third one now, also goodness. Just being good. That deserves no explanation. I mean, no, it deserves an explanation, but it doesn't need an explanation. We know what it means to be good to people. Goodness. Goodness. God is good, and he's called us to be good. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So it means all nine of these fruit are attributes, characteristics, and fruit of God. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of God. God produces love. God produces joy. God produces peace. God produces long-suffering. That's why he hadn't ended this thing yet. He could have already summed this thing up. But the Bible says that God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He's a long-suffering God. And he's long-suffering with this world and with this nation. You know he's got to be long-suffering. Because if I were God, I'd have already shown you I was real. But I don't have the long-suffering that God has. I mean, I'd have undone. I wouldn't have put up with it. But he's long-suffering, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the long-suffering of God, that's a production of God. Gentleness. God is gentle. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. Hallelujah. And God is good. Hallelujah. Now, third set of three, and I believe these work inwardly. Now, this is the ways I've categorized them. You do what you want to do with them. Upward, outward, inward. This is you. Inward. Number one, faith. That's a work that's got to take place in you. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. That means that's got to be in. It's greater than my eyesight, my faith. Hallelujah. It moves me when I can't see. Inward, faith. And then now meekness, humility. Humility, operating in humility and honor, preferring others above yourself, being meek. God always exalts the humble. And humility is the way to kingdom promotion. He that exalts himself will be abased, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. That's a work that's got to go on inside of us. The last thing the body of Christ needs is pride and arrogant and boastful, loud people. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that had to make it always about them. And they wore their phylacteries, and they wanted, you know, when they wore their shawls, they had to make sure that they had real big tassels on there. And they wanted them to be broad, their prayer shawls, real broad. They wanted everybody to see them coming. And because that was the religious garment. Today, we don't necessarily wear an outward physical religious cloth, but there are many people that want to wear their religion on their mouth and on their attitude, and they got to be super spiritual. And when we were talking about the playoffs, you said it one way, and when I brought up Jesus, you went and got deep on me and changed your tone and began to talk in a different kind of voice and said, hallelujah. Then, wait, come back. Where were you a few minutes ago when we were talking about the Clippers and what happened to the Lakers? Where were we? You then? Come back. So so many times it's about us. That's not meek, and that's not a production of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not yield fruit in us that will bring us glory. Amen. God's called our light to shine, not shine your bulb. We live in this super deep spiritual society where we like to say, oh, you're so anointed. And then somebody says, oh, no, you're anointed. No, you. Oh, us. Yes, us. World doesn't need that. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness will get you out of fights. It will stop things from exploding in your house. It would change things on your job. If you would recognize that meekness is the way to exaltation. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So I can't do, if you look at me and say, meek, I can't do that. Well, I know you can't because you're in the flesh. You can't produce spiritual fruit walking in the flesh. Oh, that's a good word right there. You can't produce spiritual fruit walking in the flesh. So if you look at these nine fruit and say, well, that ain't me. No, it's not you, and it's not me either. That's not my flesh, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, or you are walking in the Spirit, we need to see the fruit of that walk. Amen. And then last but not least, temperance. which means self-control. There's some people believe the Holy Spirit takes them out of control. But a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. My wife and I were in a conference, and we registered, and then they brought us down to the pastoral section on the first night, and they set us in the pastoral section, and so we're seated in the pastoral section. We were next to these pastors from Canada. And so we're there, and it's a worship service, and I'm sitting seated on the aisle. My wife's next to me. And then the other gentleman, his wife was next to my wife. Then he was there. And my wife kept getting knocked upside the head, finally had to sit down because his wife kept popping my wife in the head during praise. I mean, she got beside herself, and she was hitting my wife. My wife had to sit down, ducking and dodging. And then when everything stopped, she said, "Oh, forgive me, that's what happens when I'm in the Spirit." So we didn't sit in the pastor section. I'm working on time for deep people. No, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to be popping my head in the wife while you're in the Spirit. Don't blame the Holy Spirit on your super spirituality. The Holy Spirit brings control. And if you don't have no better control than that, then you need to go worship in the back somewhere because you're going to hurt somebody. Now, I have to say that because there are a lot of super spiritual people that come into church, and it's not really about their praise, and it's not really about the Lord. It's really about them being seen. I just have to call it like I see it, and I just forgive me. Slap my hand back. Shame on me. Okay. Leave it alone. So the fruit of the Spirit here, if you break it up into three parts, you've got upward, outward, and inward. This is a way that in my study, it helps me remember the fruit of the Spirit and my walk, okay? Thinking about that upwardly, outwardly, and inwardly, and then test yourself by that. Now, I want to reiterate something I said last week, and then I want to go back to this kingdom thing. And what I said last week is that based on the first law of God, there can be no harvest, there can be no fruit without seed, okay? And every seed produces more of its own kind. So I need, if there's fruit of the Spirit, what is the seed of the Spirit? And according to Jesus' teachings in Mark 4, Matthew 13, 1 Peter 1, 23, the seed of the Spirit is the Word of God. By planting the word, I'm able to harvest the fruit. But I'm not going to walk in the fruit if I never planted the word. Now, let's do this. Let's go over to 1 Peter 1. I want to show you something here. Just turn forward and you'll find it. It's right in front of 2 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, now let's look at it in verse number 23. You arrive there, say amen. Being born again, now according to Jesus in John 3:3, you could write that verse next to that verse. Being born again is by the Spirit. That's a spiritual birth. You're born naturally, and then there's a spiritual birth. Being born again, not of corruptible what? Seed, but of what? Incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Word of God is the seed that brings the spiritual new birth. And just like this seed was necessary for you to be spiritually born again, this seed is necessary for you to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you need to inspect your own fruit. The first assignment that God gave man was managing a garden. Think about that. The first place he put man was in a garden. And he was given dominion over that garden. And with that dominion in Genesis 1, 26, matter of fact, let's go look at that. Genesis is easy to find. Go back over there. Look at this here. I want you to see it. Something about seeing it. Genesis 1, 26. Watch this. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Don't miss Sunday morning. Whatever you do, don't miss Sunday morning. I mean, ooh. We're going to talk more about the kingdom. And let me just give you just one little statement about Sunday. If we're going to continue with kingdom education. If you don't raise up if we don't raise up our children, this is a prelude to Sunday. Don't have nothing to do with tonight. If we don't raise up our children understanding kingdom, which is the king's dominion, if we don't raise up our children understanding the dominion that God has given them, if they don't learn how to operate in dominion, somebody's going to take dominion over them. God gave this earth dominion, and somebody's going to always walk in it. But God's called us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. We're not called to be under the dominion of somebody else. We've been given dominion. We are dominion heirs. And we got to raise up children that are dominion heirs, that know their place in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we raise them up and the world takes dominion over them, all because we didn't teach them dominion. Don't miss Sunday. Ooh, don't miss Sunday. Hallelujah. Now, watch this here and wherever it was. 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have what? Dominion. So God put man in the earth and gave him dominion. He creates man in his own image. Verse 28. And God blessed them and God said unto them, read it, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth, moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. Now look at verse 28. God said, be fruitful. Be what? Fruitful and multiply. The first commandment in the Bible to man, be fruitful. It was God's will that man be fruitful. Be fruitful. And then he came behind that and said, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. That means, look, you be fruitful, I've given you seed. So if man is to be fruitful, he's got to take advantage of the seed. If he doesn't take advantage of the seed, he won't be fruitful. Now watch this. Think about this for a minute. Think about Adam being in the garden and expanding the boundaries of the garden, or growing the garden, or cultivating the garden, and then you one day, years after Adam been there, walk in the garden. You could find out the culture of Adam by what was growing in his garden. So like if I walk in Adam's garden and I can't find an orange for apples, then I would say, man, I mean, everywhere I go, apples, 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 apples. Then I'd say, man, you must love apples. You say, oh yeah, apples, my favorite fruit. I can tell. Because you've used apple seed and planted apples everywhere. And I say, well, would you happen to have any oranges? Oh yeah, I got some. Look around that little corner over there. Okay. But I could tell now Adam loves apples because he took that seed and that's what he planted so much of. See, our culture, which is your harvest, your culture in your life tells on what you've been planting. Did you hear what I just said? Your culture, your harvest of your life, it tells me what you like. It tells me what you've been sowing. Your harvest tells on you. Galatians 6 teaches, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So your culture, the culture of your home, the culture of your own life, what you're cultivating determines your culture. What you're cultivating, the word culture means harvest. The harvest is based on what you're sowing and cultivating. If you're missing a harvest of joy or peace or long-suffering or gentleness, then you know that's a word you need. You know that's a devotion you need to study. That's a book you need to buy. That's some research you need to do. That's some scriptures you need to locate. That's some meditation you need to invest in. You ought to be able to look at your own life and say, man, you know, I don't have no problem loving people, but I'm just not the most gentle person in the world. You say, well, I never have been. That ain't good enough. You ain't always been saved either. You've got to be able to take inventory of your garden and say, I'm missing this fruit.
I need to spend more time working on being good to people. I need to rehearse and practice my goodness. I'm just not a good person. I'm mean-spirited. You need to take inventory of your fruit and say, this is something that's got to change in my garden. Now, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Huh? So, Jesus said this, and to sum this thing up, pull it all together. The first verse we read in Romans 14, 17 is that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom, he says, is righteousness, it's peace, it's joy, and this peace and this joy come from the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. But wait a minute. When Romans 14 says that the kingdom is righteousness, that it is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, well, we already discovered that these are fruit of the Holy Ghost. So I could take Romans 14 and 17, stay with me, don't lose this. I could take Romans 14 and 17 and say, the kingdom of God is the fruit of the Spirit. You say, how could the kingdom of God be the fruit of the Spirit? Because when you take the seed of the word, which Jesus said is the seed that yields the kingdom. I got to prove this. Let's come over here. We're going to wrap this up right here. Go to Matthew 13. We'll take it in a minute. In Jesus' teachings on the kingdom, he said that the kingdom is likened unto a man that sowed seed. And then he compared that seed to the word of God. Hallelujah. So, if the kingdom of God is the fruit of the Spirit, that's the culture that I'm creating, then I need to go back and look and see how do I get this fruit. And Jesus explains it so simply. Matthew 13, watch verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, help me read it, a sower went forth to sow. Okay? They came back to him and they said, why do you speak in parables? And they knew that there was more to it because he told them in verse 9. Then verse 11, he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then he's going to explain what this seed is and that this seed is the word. See, if you go down to verse number 18, he's going to explain it. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh wickedness. He's explaining that the whole process of the kingdom is sowing. And the end result, if the seed got planted, watch verse 23, but he that received the seed, what is the seed? The word. But he that received the seed or the word into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also, help me, beareth fruit. Come on, somebody. I can't get any plainer right there. He said, we gonna know that you got the word. We will know that you got the word. We will know that you received the word. How will we know you received it? You will bring forth fruit. Your life will be fruitful. You'll contrast the difference between you got in the word but before you got in the word. Say, man, y'all should have known me 3 years ago. The me you're looking at right now, I never could have seen outside of the work of his word in my life. Hallelujah. And so he says, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then he's going to come down again and use the parable of the kingdom and refer it to seed. And it goes on throughout that whole chapter right there. The point is that I'm not going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit if I'm not sowing the seed of the Spirit, and your fruit will tell on you. We're going to know what you've been investing in. You can't be saying, well, that gentleness stuff, that ain't me. No, it's because you ain't walking in the Spirit. Thus the saying, in the flesh. But you know what? I don't want you in the flesh. I don't want to get in the flesh. So hear me in my context here. I'd rather you have, I'm not condoning, I'd rather you have your moment in the flesh, which means you're saying I'm normally in the Spirit. than I would you saying, ooh, I got in the spirit. Well, that means you're always in the flesh. Did that make sense? Ooh, Sunday I got in the spirit. Well, where was Saturday? If we're walking in the spirit, we're going to yield the fruit of the spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me pray for you tonight. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift, Lord, you up as the Lord of the harvest. And that, Lord, you are our owner. We belong to you. We've been bought with a price. Your word says that you have purchased us with your own blood. And we thank you that you have redeemed us. And Father, I thank you tonight that it is your will that we yield fruit. That no matter what our life may look like, no matter what our past may look like, you are glorified. Your word says it in John 17, that you are glorified when we bear fruit. So, Father, I pray tonight that we as a body of believers would begin to walk in the fruit of your spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask you right now, if there's areas of our life where we're not yielding fruit, show us, Lord, how to prune those areas and cultivate those areas. And Lord, give us the seed that we need to sow, that we can feel the void of that fruit in our life. With every head bowed, all eyes closed, meditate on what you heard. And the first and most important thing is this: do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? You say, would he save me? He will save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the seed of your salvation is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel. Romans 10:9 says that if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. He died to pay your sin debt and mine. Sin was a debt that Jesus came to pay. And that debt could only be payable by death, and he paid it. And if you receive that word of the gospel into your heart, it is the seed for your new birth. I want to invite you to pray with me. Those watching live, I want to invite you to pray with me as well. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned. I believe you died for me. I believe you love me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I ask you to make my heart good ground for the seed of your word. I ask you to give me ears to hear, to receive your spirit, your word, that your fruit might harvest in my life, that others would see it, and that you might be glorified in and through me. Use my life to advance your kingdom. In the name of Jesus.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.